Hey there, we're live here at Ignite 2015, and every once in a while, I get to sneak in dev stuff at an IT conference, and I'm here with Julie Lerman. You're a Microsoft MVP, is that right?
I am, not a Microsoft employee.
Got it. And here's the thing, just between us, she is the first interview I ever did 4 years ago at Dev Connections when I was working at Dev Express. First interview ever.
I did not realize that was the first interview.
It was the first one.
You were such a pro.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. I'll give you the $5 afterwards. So here's the thing. When it comes to Entity Framework, you literally wrote the book.
That book, yeah.
Yeah, there's one
book.
Two
of them.
Yeah. And so one of the things I want to talk about, if that's okay, is there is some concern that moving from EF6 to EF7, there's going to be some differences. And I wanted to get you on to tell us from a practical perspective, since you know EF6 really well and we're starting to move over to EF7, what are some things that we can look out for as we move forward?
Well, so you probably have already had this conversation with Rowan that EF7 is a complete rewrite of Entity Framework, a really necessary rewrite. There's so much technical debt in there.
Right.
So there will absolutely be patterns in there. The APIs still make sense in terms of querying and the change tracking and things like that. So there is, like, if you have some small code, like some basic code will run in EF7 that is EF6 code.
See.
There is some. But typically when people are architecting, you know, interesting, more complex applications, you're going to have more than just that basic stuff in there.
Right.
And it's not a backwards compatible.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So what are the things, like say you're familiar with EF6. I'm not as familiar with EF6
That's
as
okay.
I would like to be. What are some things that you need to look out for if you're going to move forward to EF7? What's the, like, that's not there anymore kind of thing?
Well, the big things, which depending on who you talk to, you know, can be a real problem for some people, and other people aren't using it anyway, is that the EDMX, which is the designer-based model, is gone. It was really getting to be, it's a lot to support, and with this new API, they were simplifying things.
Right.
And yes, the people who are dependent on EDMX is really, really important for them, but the bulk of people using Entity Framework are using Code First already anyway, so we're going to be moving forward with Code First. But that doesn't mean that there's a couple of buts about that. First of all, you may not even see, if you have that scenario, you may look at EF7 and say, you know, there's nothing compelling enough in EF7 for me to want to upgrade this application that has EDMX or, you know, some other stuff in it. It's not, there's nothing. It's not worth it.
Right.
No point in doing that. And if I'm going to write something new, okay, I'll use Code First.
I see. So if you like EF6 and you're just in the EDMX, just stay there for now. And then later on, if there's a compelling reason to move forward, you should.
Well, there's another possibility, which is third-party tools.
Right.
And they will be there. There's already third-party designers. Mm-hmm. DevArt has one. LLBL Gen Pro has one.
And that's for EF7, right?
Well, they've been around for
a
while. I know for sure Franz Bumas said LLBL Gen Pro will support EF7, and I've not used it, but I know there's support for using the EDMX and using his tool.
Got it.
And DevArt's tool, I can't remember what it's called, something simple like EF Entity Designer, I think it's called. It's like a replacement for using the Visual Designer.
Right.
And last time I talked to them, they said they were definitely considering, and supporting EF7, so supporting the use of EDMX in EF7, so making that bridge. So if you really need, for some reason, to update those applications to EF7, there will be those possibilities to use EDMX if you really need it.
And that's like if you're using a database first kind of thing, it'll create that big EDMX file and then get all the classes written for you. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily do the big EDMX because I would pick and choose and make smaller
models. When I did it the first time, I just imported everything.
Yeah, these point files to the database,
huge.
And then you get 800 entities in your model and you have problems. I have so many clients that I work with where I sit down and, you know, well, we've got some performance problems and some other kinds of problems, and they open up their EDMX and there's like 800. I had a client that I worked with a couple weeks ago. They hit some kind of weird limitation with SQL Server that Entity Framework Designer is dependent on, and they can't get, it's like, it's full. They can't put one more table in there. And it's not because the designer can't handle it, even though they have too many tables in there, but it can physically handle it. It's just that what Entity Framework is trying to do with SQL Server in order to implement that, pull it in, it just broke the bank. Yeah.
So moving forward, so the designer's not there in EF7.
Correct.
For those that are doing code first, not a big deal. For those that aren't doing code first and have an EDMX but wish to move to EF7, is it just a question of writing the classes and moving them over?
Not quite. And I'm hoping there's going to be, you know, for those people, there will be some kind of a bridge. Mm-hmm. What will be missing is the EDMX has the mappings built into it. And if you have specialized mappings, you won't automatically get them. You'll have to duplicate them either in the Fluent API or in data annotations. Anything that's beyond, you know, outside of the conventional mappings.
So let's talk a little bit about EF7. Have you played with it a little bit?
I have, yeah.
Tell us, are there any speed increases or are there any reasons to say, yeah, EF7 is fantastic?
I haven't done any kind of performance testing on it yet because I was so busy looking at all the fun new features that are in there. I mean, it's fun. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well,
it's embarrassing.
Fun for me too.
No, it's
fun. We're programmers. It's
okay. But you know, they've solved some of the things they've done is with this new code base. It's allowed them to solve some problems they couldn't solve before, like batch updating, batch inserts. Like, people have been asking that since the first version. So things like that. But they're also able to put in, they're implementing APIs so that, you know, you can use so much more, like, dependency injection, IOC. It makes it so EF7 is so much more extensible, so you can do
a lot
of things with it. They're doing some work to try to ease the pain of working with disconnected data, which is a big problem.
Everywhere.
I mean, they're not going to magically solve it. That's not inherently an entity framework problem. It's a distributed
business rule,
So they're trying to put some more stuff in there. So there's all kinds of places. There's like a set of things we've been asking for a long time that they're finally able to implement, and then all these kind of cool new things. I mean, I've been so busy with Entity Framework. I've really been focusing for, you know, my whole career basically with relational data.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, I need to make that leap. I've looked at Azure Table Storage before. I've looked at document databases. Uh-huh. I haven't played with them. So for me, it's fun to be able to, even though it's, you know, it's kind of a surface layer interaction with some of these non-relational databases. It's been really cool to just see how the basic APIs we're used to working with, the DB context and doing queries and doing updates on a basic level, just works with their prototypes of the Azure Table Storage.
So in EF7, there's a facility in there to do non-relational type data access.
And not just NoSQL databases. One thing that's really wonderful in there, if you do some kind of integration testing where you need to hit Entity Framework, but you don't really need to literally hit the database, right? And we've had, you know, patterns for doing that and mocking and everything, but they've actually provided an in-memory provider that you can just say, use the in-memory provider, that's my provider, and it just magically works, and you don't have to set up mocking or fakes or anything like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's really, really nice. I know I've played with it kind of at a surface level, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I know some people have dug further into it and said, you know, it still needs this, this, and that, but, you know, it's a work in progress.
It's such a
really cool idea. The NoSQL is a really interesting thing because I, you know, hear very often, well, it's an ORM.
Yeah.
relational. Like, why do you need it for non-relational? But one of the things I've experienced, I've played recently with DocumentDB. They don't have a provider, you know,
right,
that they've played with for DocumentDB yet. But DocumentDB, like Azure Table Storage, there's all this setup stuff that you have to do.
Uh-huh.
Tons and tons of configuration code. And when I use Azure Table Storage with, you know, with EF7, EF7 basically wraps all of that stuff up and takes care of it for you.
Uh-huh.
It's like, that feels nice.
Feels more natural, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's important to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what they're doing is just taking the .NET API that already exists to work with Azure Table Storage, and they just put a wrapper around
it.
I
see. I have heard that when comparing EF6 and EF7, EF7 feels lighter. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah.
And why is that?
Well, one of the reasons is that they followed along with what ASP.NET 5 is doing, which is componentizing the features of Entity Framework. So, for example, right now, EF6 API, EntityFramework.dll, it's like 5 or 6 megabytes, which in some scenarios, that's a lot to download.
Yeah.
Now, on my computer, where I've got all these demos,
yeah,
I've probably got 800 copies of the DLL because I've downloaded it with NuGet here and here and
right,
here and here. So, you know, yeah, that, you know.
It gets a little big, yeah, yeah.
But what they've done is things like the SQL Server provider, you're not always going to be using SQL Server, so let's have that be a separate DLL.
Oh,
You're not always going to be using relational. So they've got a relational DL, a relational API that's in a single DLL.
Interesting.
And if you say, I want Azure Table Storage, then it doesn't need to that. So it's lighter weight in that way that it the API is smaller. So when you start moving towards taking advantage of the new capabilities with mobile and, you know, maybe you're going to use SQLite, Windows UAP,
right?
Windows 10 UAP, or the Windows Phone apps, et cetera, you're not, you know, pulling down, you know, the resources of, you know, coming through the wire or storing it on your machine
or
storing it in memory. You don't have to deal with that anymore. You just get the kind of the little bits and pieces it needs.
That's cool. I've also heard that EF7 is going to work on the core CLR. Is that the case?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, that's why the first it's not the RTM.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be a full RTM of Entity Framework 7 with it all, you know, all the
all
things
the
they want to get
yeah,
into it. But what they're doing for now is taking kind of a subset of everything they wanted to do. They said, okay, we're here so far. Let's get all of this working really well so that we can release it at the same time ASP.NET 5 gets released. And one of the critical things was for that core API to have some data way of interacting
right,
with data. So they made sure that what they've got already to begin with will work with the core CLR along with, you know, as well as the full .NET framework.
And that's awesome because what that means for those that are watching is that this stuff will work on Mac and Linux.
Yes.
Which is EF7 on Mac and Linux. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so.
And PostgreSQL.
Oh.
Which I learned how to say finally.
Yeah, it's a.
Not PostgreSQL. Oh. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So, what are you most excited about with EF7? And where can we go to learn more? Are you going to do another update to your book? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, books. Oh. Well, I've already done a Pluralsight course, kind of a mini. It's 2.5 hours a mini.
Yeah.
For a person who writes 900-page books.
Yeah.
That's short. And that's called Looking Ahead to Entity Framework 7. So it was looking at, and you know, things have shifted again already.
And that's okay.
In the last month. But the idea was, here's what's going on. Here's how you should be planning ahead. You know, keep an eye on what's going on. Don't start writing your production code yet.
Right.
You know, don't really worry about it too much, you know, unless you really need to use the core CLR, right?
Right.
Otherwise, and I actually just wrote my May data points column in MSDN magazine. I talked about ASP.NET 5, EF7, and EF6, and I actually showed how to say to take use EF6 with an ASP.NET 5 application.
Got it. Well, that's cool. So, what is the feature you're most excited about in EF7 coming out to finish up?
So that changes. Yeah, is it the deer in the headlights? Look, it's just, yeah, it changes based on whatever I'm playing with at the moment.
That's awesome.
So there was a day that I thought for sure in memory provider was, you know, absolutely
the
it.
Stuff.
I'm really pleased with the work that they're doing to try to just clarify what's going on with the distributed environment, so just connected entities. But I think because I'm finally starting to play with some of the document databases,
uh-huh.
and Azure Table Storage, key value pair, that's not DocDB. But I actually started playing with Azure Document DB for the first time, and I'm like, oh, this is really, really cool. Now, there isn't, they haven't done a proof of concept for Document DB yet, but right now I'm like looking forward to playing more with that.
Got it. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. It's always an honor. Thanks so much for watching. Again, we're here live at Ignite 2015, sneaking in some Dev EF7 stuff. Thanks for watching, and we will catch you next time. Take care.